But sooner or later, we will all face giants in our lives.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. On entering the Promised Land, the children of Israel had to deal with giants. Earlier, they refused the match, causing them to wander in the desert for 40 years. Here was God's merciful second chance to get it right. And in the message tonight, Pastor Brian Grant will tell us how they did and how we can learn from their example to gain mastery and to prosper in spite of giants we may be called upon to face in our own life experiences. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Facing the Giants in Your Life.
Years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of doing a one-way Alaskan cruise. We started in Seward, Alaska, and we went on the Inside Passage all the way from Seward to Vancouver, British Columbia. It was really one of these spectacular trips that you'll never forget. I remember just sitting in my suite and watching the whales breaching the water. It was just amazing. But one of the things I'll never forget was, you know, here we were at the Hubbard Glacier. Hubbard Glacier is 70-something miles. It's like an 80-story, 70-mile moving river of ice. And the ice is under so much pressure. The ice is blue. And I tell you, when it calves, because it's a moving river. Sometimes we don't think of a glacier as a moving river. But as the river slowly moves, it would calve. And you'd hear this incredible cracking sound as the ice would fall 80 stories from into the ocean, the Inside Passage ocean, with just an incredible splash. Everything was just so spectacular, so serene. But the part that of the story that I really want to come to is that, you know, the crew knew that along the way we may run into bears because we had time to tour on our own. And so what they did, they gave us training as to what to do if we confronted a bear. And so they said, what we should do, we should stand up straight on our tippy toes, hold our hands up in the air, and try to make yourself appear as tall as possible. Because I said, if you made yourself really tall, the bear would be afraid and would run away. Well, I figured that since I'm already tall, I had a big advantage over most of the other passengers on the ship. But you know, at one of the stops, there was a big salmon run. And I was really excited to see the salmon because the salmon was going home to spawn. And you know, you may or may not know this, that you know, after the salmon spawns, it travels thousands of miles. But then when it's ready to die and to lay eggs, it comes back to exactly where it came from. So here was all these tens of thousands of salmon were going home. They were going upstream. And I wanted to see this because in order to go against the tide, these salmon, they would have to jump out of the water and leap forward because they're trying to fight the tide. Oh, I knew it was just going to be so spectacular. And my wife, she was willing to go. The only problem, the bears seem to have heard that the salmon were also going upstream. And so the bears know it was going to be a big feast day. Either a big feast day of salmon or of people. And so the bears all were. So we saw the sign. Beware. Bears. So of course I decided I'm keeping going. My wife said, where are you going? I said, we are trained. We are trained about how to deal with bears. All we got to do is to stand tall. My wife said, how are you sure the bear got that memo? I realized a bear is a giant that Cheryl was not willing to face. You know, sometimes we have a choice as to whether or not to face a particular giant. But sooner or later, we will all face giants in our lives. Giants come in all shapes and sizes. Some are physical, some are emotional, some result from bad decisions and sinful habits, others don't. Some might be medical challenges, but what I do know that every one of us will face a giant in our life at some time. But regardless of their origin, the devil will try to use these giants to destroy our peace and disrupt our joy in our walk with God. But my friend, I want to tell you this morning that when we face giants, we can cling to Jesus because he can work through them. Listen good. The very giant that might scare us to death, as we cling to Jesus, he can work through them to grow us spiritually and deepen our joy in our walk with God. And so today, as I bring to an end part one of our study on the book of Joshua, we're going to pause for a bit here as we bring, in fact, initially I told it was only a mini series, so the series really should have ended already, but by God's grace, here we are. But we're going to stop at part one, and we see where God takes us from here. But today, as we conclude part one of the series, I wanted to talk about the destruction of the walls of Jericho as I speak to you on the theme, facing the giants in your life. Facing the giants in your life. I want to leave you with three R's today. So grab your notebook, your notepaper, and write these three R's. Here's the first R. Listen. As we face giants, and by the way, even if you're not facing a giant, the message is for you as well, amen? As we face giants, even if you're not, we must rest in the certainty of God's presence. Rest in the certainty of God's presence. During my Sunday school years, I loved singing that song, Round the Walls of Jericho. And you've sang that when you were in Sunday school, Round the Walls of Jericho. And I loved, because you know, it was an action song. And when you finally got to the people, when the people gave a shout, the walls fell down. And of course, we would all fall down. The walls fell down. But strangely, though the Bible says the walls fell down, 70 years ago, the British archaeologist Kathleen Kenyon, after excavating Jericho, she said the Bible story was fictitious. For she said her excavation showed no evidence that there was ever a walled city at Jericho. So write this down in your notes, because young people, along the way, you're going to run into people who will challenge the Bible and say that the Bible is wrong. So write this big word down. The Bible is inerrant. The Bible is inerrant, which means it's incapable of being wrong. I want you to say that with me. The Bible, what is what? Is incapable of being wrong. It is impossible for the Bible to be wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So as you go through life and you hear all these challenges, you measure every challenge. Young person, are you listening? You measure every challenge against what God says, because listen, I've learned a lot of science and a lot of history that has changed. You realize that a lot of stuff I learned in school, they're now saying it's a different, singing a different story. But the word of God abides ever. God has never changed his mind, amen, about God's word is inerrant, it's incapable of being wrong. And so when further excavations were done, they confirmed that Jericho did have massive, in fact, they discovered that they had massive double walls that were at that time thought to be impenetrable. And they said that the excavations also showed that the city was burned with fire, just as the Bible had stated. So when Joshua faced, I'm using my sanctified imagination now. So when Joshua faced this heavily fortified city, he may have been somewhat apprehensive. For he knew Jericho was a city that all its enemies said was impenetrable. Can you imagine? You put yourself in Joshua's shoes. Yes, you heard what the spies said, but you probably would be a little bit concerned. Can I really break through? What military stuff do I have? What do I have to break through? Joshua was facing a huge giant. What would he do? Joshua 5:13 tells us, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Who was this man? Well, let's continue reading. So he said, no, the man answered, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did that. Have you figured out who this man was? Have you figured it out? Put this in your notes. This was a theophany. A visible appearance of God. No wonder Joshua fell on his face, worshipped, and asked, what does my Lord say to his servant? This was the Lord himself. So listen, let me break it down some more. Put this in your notes. Joshua had been visited by the pre-incarnate Christ. Oh, you didn't know that Christ appeared. You see, sometimes we get the impression that Jesus started as a virgin with Mary there in Matthew's Gospel chapter 1. But Jesus always existed. The Lord always was. And here we find in the Old Testament, as Joshua is facing his giant, Jesus Christ himself comes, takes on physical appearance. Why? Because we can rest in the certainty of what? Of God's presence. Jesus made a special appearance to bolster his faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Keep your finger in Joshua chapter 6. But we're going to jump over to Hebrews chapter 13 for a powerful verse of scripture. A verse you want to mark in your own Bibles. And this is the problem when you only use whatever that thing is called. It's always good you have a Bible that you can mark somewhere. It's tough to mark your little phone, I believe. But if you can mark it, you mark it, okay? Hebrews chapter 13. This is one of them verses that got to be marked, all right? Here's what it says. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said what? What has he said? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. Hallelujah. As you face your giant, my friend, we can rest in the certainty of God's presence because God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And therefore, as the giant looms, I can say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. I will not fear. You know, it doesn't matter what type of giant we face or how big the giant is, we can always rest in the certainty of God's presence. You know, Brother Sam Hart used to say this verse 5 is good whether you read it backwards or forwards. If you read it forward, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But if you read it backward, it says, you forsake or you leave, never will I. You forsake or you leave, never will I. We can hold on as we face our giants. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. A little boy was on a plane that was experiencing violent turbulence and bouncing around. But somehow, despite all this turbulence and bouncing, the little boy was happily playing with his toys. And, you know, the lady beside him was really, she was scared to death. And it sort of started getting annoying that this boy seems to be having fun. And this plane is bouncing along. Everybody is scared to death. And this boy is playing. So she finally turned to the little boy and she said, little boy, stop it. How can you be so calm when the plane is going through all this? The little boy rested his hand on the lady and he said, lady, my daddy is the pilot. Did you get it? Aren't you glad our heavenly father is our pilot? Amen. And my friend, when we face giants, let be at peace, for God has things under control. And he has promised. The almighty, omnipotent God has things under control. And he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. Young person, grow up knowing this, that if Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can go through every storm in your life knowing that he is with you. And I think that is a hallelujah ground. Amen. Amen. The big question is, are you walking in fellowship with him? If you are not, you certainly have a lot to worry about. But hallelujah, when you're walking in fellowship with Jesus, we can hold tight to God's promise and boldly declare from Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Oh, may God help us this morning as we face our giants. My brother, my sister, I don't know what giant you are facing this morning, but if God is your helper, we need not fear, because he is with us and he has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. So what was the first R? When we face a giant, we must what? Rest in the certainty of God's presence. But here is the second one. We must resolve to totally obey God's instructions. We must resolve to totally obey God's instruction. Some of us are born rebels. Am I right about that? Some people are born rebels. They disobey every rule. And so let's read here. Because if we're serious about getting God's help, we must obey him. The rebellion won't work so well. I'm in Joshua chapter 6, and I'm reading from verses 1 through 5 in Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Nobody was going in or out. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war. You shall go all around the city once. You shall do 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great voice. Then what happens? Then what? The wall of the city will fall down? Is really? Is that God's plan? Did God really expect them to follow that plan? Didn't we just talk about the city having double walls that were impenetrable? And God is saying, all you got to do is walk around the thing one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, you walk around seven times and you blow. I don't think God understands the complexity of the situation. I don't think God recognizes that these walls are double walls that are impenetrable. And you see, this is how we think. Perhaps you're going through something right now and you're saying, what the Bible says I'm to do, does God really understand? Is he dealing with reality? Are you with me this morning? Is God dealing with reality? Does God understand the 2020s? Or is he stuck somewhere back in the past? But thank God, we have a daddy who knows exactly what is going on. Amen. He knows exactly what is going on. God's answers sometimes seem simplistic, but God knows exactly what to do. You know, we often make things much more difficult than we need to. And I want us to take a note of a very well-known passage of Scripture, because sometimes we read it, but we really don't meditate on it. So let's hold your finger in Joshua, but let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 to 12. Here's how it reads in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Do you know sometimes that we face giants? We feel like we're up against. Sometimes it's the chastening of the Lord. But the Bible says, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.